I take this morning's greetings out of Numbers chapter 6. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You are not dismissed. This is the beginning of the blessing of Moses upon the children of Israel. It's the blessing upon you as a congregation, upon all of us. I would like to welcome each one of us, or each one out. If there's guests or midst, you're more than welcome. Members, visitors, people listening online, on CD, you're more welcome to attend these services. It's been a while that I've been speaking publicly. I think somewhat in May, and a person gets somewhat rusty and loses some confidence in speaking. So if I make a number of errors, forgive me. It'll happen. I'm human, and it does happen. I want to start off with two verses on this Pentecost Monday. For those of you that are listening to it online or CD, on Pentecost Monday, I want to start off with two verses. The first verse, I want to start off with John 14. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And then John 4:24. John chapter 4, verse 24. There we read, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. Pentecost is one of the united as the Trinity, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the Trinity, and the Spirit has always been around, but there was an ultimate time when God sent his Holy Spirit upon the earth. It was a universal spirit being sent down. We know that the Spirit was there before, but not the universal spirit of all mankind. It's hard to explain. I'll try to do a little explanation later on in my message. Let us unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for a beautiful day. Father, we thank you for sunshine, and we thank you also for moisture, for your provisions. Father, we know that physically we live in a land of plenty. We are so blessed to have peace in this country. Father, we are so blessed to have a wonderful spring and where things are growing, and we are shown that you care for nature. You don't simply provide us with the whereabouts, but also that you give us the supplications and the things that we need for our daily food. We thank you for that, and we thank you also for our spiritual food, that you give us the opportunity of your word, and that we might be found faithful. Father, at this morning, as we want to look into your word as what the Holy Spirit has done and will do, and why you sent out the Holy Spirit, might you be blessed and be honored and glorified. Be with each one that has come today, this morning, those that are listening on CD and or via online. Might you bless each one that has come, and might this service be a blessing and an encouragement, and that we might be reminded of your love toward us. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Take your red hymnal and turn to page 53, A Wonderful Savior. Number 53.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of maketh my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depth of his love and covers me there with his hand.
I give my life for thee. 144.
I guess I didn't quite finish what I wanted to say before. While I was off for some time, was that we had the opportunity to go to BC and Vancouver Island, my wife and myself, with our children, and we had a good time. We saw God's nature, a different part of the world. It's educational, but it's also, you see God's creation at a different level. So that took two Sundays off exactly when we left. So we had a good time. I want to go to the verses that I opened up and just allude to it a little bit. John 14, verse 26. There it talks about the Holy Spirit, the universal Spirit sent to people. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. I find there, first of all, it talks about the Holy Spirit being a Comforter. Who sends it? The Father. God sends it in his name, in the name of Jesus. What does it do? It teaches. What does it do further? It reminds us. And we are people that need to be reminded. So I find in this one verse, the sending of the Holy Spirit was by God the Father in Jesus' name for the purpose of being a comfort to teach and remind. There's far more things that the Holy Spirit does, but this one verse gives these three things: comfort, teach, and remind. And then the other verse that I had for opening, it was in John 4:24, that God is a spirit. The Trinity of God is a spirit. And if we come to get together to worship, we must worship in spirit, which is the truth. The Spirit of God always reveals the truth. We don't question the truth. The Spirit of God is the truth. Regardless of what people say, if it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not from the truth and it's not from the right spirit. It might be from a spirit, but the Spirit of God, and if we come to worship, that's our desire. I know we are humans, we fail. We don't always do the right things, but we zero in on truth, and that's the Spirit of God. God cannot lie. How did this Holy Spirit, universal Holy Spirit, being poured out, how did this happen? Or what was the sign that Jesus, that Jesus gave before it happened? You know, Jesus doesn't just do something, and he could, but he lets people know. You read it in John 14, verses 1 to 6, let not your heart be troubled. He knew that his disciples were troubled. God does not put his people uninformed into this world and doesn't give them direction. I don't believe it for a minute. When he came the first time, he prophesied about it. He gave people enough to know what was happening. When Jesus will return, he has prophesied enough events that he knows, that his children know, we are close of the rapture, the close of his return. God does not deal with his people any other way. And now by sending him the Holy Spirit, he talked about it to his disciples more often, what the Holy Spirit would do, and they would be fine if the Holy Spirit was there and he left. In Acts chapter 1, I want to read the happening before the Holy Spirit was poured out. You know, like I said, there was something happening before the Holy Spirit was poured out. In Acts chapter 1, the first 11 verses, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So it's Jesus that does and teach. Before he was taken up by the Holy Ghost, he gave commandments to whom? To the apostles. He instructed them. He gave them a forecast what would happen or what they should do. To whom he also shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, by the apostles, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. He was the promise of the Father was the Holy Spirit. When they were assembled together, Jesus gave this instruction, wait for the promise of the Father. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. The Holy Ghost baptizes his believers, those that believe. That's the instruction he gives to his apostle. We find it in different portions of Scripture. There's the water baptism, but there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is more important than the water. When they therefore were come together, when it referring to the apostles and Jesus come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They still didn't get it, the apostles. They were thinking they needed a leader to fix up the problems of Israel. You know, they had political issues at the time, as we have today. And the apostles wanted to know, you mean to say you could restore the... And he was capable of doing it, very capable. And Jesus replies to this answer, to this question, he answers. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But, he gives them the right answer, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses both to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. He says to them, you shall receive this Holy Spirit and you shall be witnesses. You shall be witnessing about Jesus, about spirituality to the people. And it shall start at Jerusalem, which could be in our own homes, I would say, as close as possible. In Judea, further, and also Samaria, but then he goes out into all the earth. That's our responsibility. It matches with Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, where Jesus says, go out into all the world, preach the gospel, teach them, baptize them. That's the assignment for the believers in the church body. But it starts at home. Parents, don't for a minute think that Sunday school or school will do that which you should do at home. That is every parent's responsibility, starting at home. And then it might reach into the church, into the community, might reach into the neighboring countries and to all the world. And when he had spoken these things, when Jesus had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud receded him out of his sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go up into heaven. So this is just prior to sending out the Holy Spirit. He has talked with his apostles, told them how they should wait for the Holy Spirit, where they should go, starting at which places first. And when he had spoken those final words, there comes a cloud right in front of them, takes Jesus up, and they look up where he goes into heaven, and there's two men standing in white apparel, which we believe are angels. They come in form of humans. They are standing there. And these two men say, people, men, why are you standing and looking up to heaven? This same Jesus that you saw go up is so returning down from heaven. When will that take place? The rapture, he's coming down. He says, the same way you see him going up, he's coming back. The same way. Good instructions from Jesus himself. You see, you see him come up, he will come down the same way. Remarkable, remarkable God, how God informs his people about the Holy Spirit. And this was the rapture of Jesus himself, the Son of God. Enoch was raptured. Jesus was raptured, taken up. He died, but he stood up, resurrected, and here he goes back to heaven. This was his ascension from earth to heaven, he gave instruction as to the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of comfort. His mission life was accomplished. And then he went back to heaven, but he gave us the Holy Spirit of direction. I call it the GPS. There's inside of a believer something that triggers when they do something wrong that does not agree with the Bible or with his Spirit. And we must say that the Holy Spirit addresses things that might not even be written in the Bible. You know, you don't find everything in the Bible, how to train your children. But the Holy Spirit would direct you. Even if you make a mistake, the Holy Spirit gives you, and God, Jesus himself, gives us a chance to try again, and try again, and try again. He forgives us, but the Holy Spirit directs us as a GPS. It gives us direction, even when we make mistakes because we are human. Then when the Holy Spirit was come, I want to read these verses found in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 16, and make some comments. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house that they were sitting. And there appeared unto him them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" is the question. "And how hear we every man in their own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medians and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Pergia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Greeks and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and my sons and my daughters shall prophesy, and my young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." It records of the day of Pentecost was fully come. And it says they were all together in one place. And the Holy Spirit had a sound. It made a sound like a mighty rushing wind. That's quite something, that the Holy Spirit was so powerful, it made a noise that it filled the house. They spake in different tongues of different languages. And it's recorded there. And then there came about this thing, and they were all amazed and in doubt, saying, "What meaneth this?" Some mocked, and they thought they were drunk. And Peter, in his boldness, and he had received the Holy Spirit. Remember, Peter was the one that denied Jesus three times, followed him afar off when he was crucified. But this Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, gave him lots of vigor and to tell the truth. And he says, "You are totally wrong. It's but the third hour. These people are not drunk." I take it when I look at this, they must have been acting a little different, these that were filled with the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, the people wouldn't come to the conclusion they were drunk. They were so indifferent. People that are drunk are different. They're beside themselves. They can't think straight. So Christians are sometimes different. And let's not judge people even if they're a little different. Some people are very filled and they're very on fire. That's fine. You find that of dark people that worship. They're very much on fire, quite different than we are. And so these people were on fire and they think they're drunk. And Peter steps up to the plate and says, no, this is not, they're not drunk. But this is something that was spoken by Joel, you see? Joel already prophesied of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, of one of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Joel spoke about it, and Peter said, this is what it is. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. And he further says what the Spirit will do to the daughters and the old men and so on. And then in verse 21 it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The drawing of the Holy Spirit says, whoever calls and is drawn to the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter says this. And Peter expounds on the scriptures in Acts chapter 2, and he's very on fire and very charged up. He's vigorous about the gospel, which he wasn't in the past. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. We are not ashamed of the gospel of God, of Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed. And that's what it did to Peter and the rest of the apostles. That's why a lot of these disciples were killed. Regardless of what government said, they were killed. They were put in prison. That's why a lot of the New Testament is written from in prison when the government officials put them there. Paul wrote it from in prison. In Acts chapter 16, I want to touch on Acts chapter 16. Just maybe a couple of words before I read this verse, Acts 16, verse 7. I must have recorded this wrong. There I go. I recorded it wrong.
16.
Huh?
16 or
7? Yeah. Do you know where it is? It is? Acts 16. Oh my. Oh, okay. Makes all the difference. Makes all the difference. Let's try again. Forgive me. John 16, verse 7. John 16, verse 7. Before I read that verse, I want to entertain the thought of the universal, when I say universal sending of the Holy Spirit, when I study the scriptures, which I have done over the years on the Holy Spirit, in the Old Testament, there was the Spirit of God, but it indwelt in certain people at certain times. It was not the universal sending of the Holy Spirit. There was a Spirit. God talked to people individually. He did. He talked to people individually. But he sent out the universal Holy Spirit over all the people and for the church, which I read in Acts chapter 2. You heard it. How the Holy Spirit came down as a rushing mighty wind. It was a promise in Joel. It was fulfilled in Acts chapter 2 for the church and each believer. Having said that, in the Old Testament, there was the Spirit, but worked differently than the Holy Spirit. That's how I understand it. It came upon people, a certain group of people, to teach people. It came in the New Testament before this. Acts chapter 2, was the Holy Spirit was poured out. It came to Joseph, Mary's husband. It came to Simeon, it came to different people, but only for a time of giving certain messages. But the universal pouring of the Holy Spirit of the Trinity happened in Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit was poured out, and that's why we have Pentecost, the day of the pouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, this verse confirms that thought as well. John 16, verse 7. I'm glad I caught that verse, because what would I say if I didn't find this verse? Nevertheless, Jesus saying, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. We talked about him going away into heaven, ascension, his rapture. Here he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Go back to heaven. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He says, I must leave so that the Holy Spirit can come. If I stay, the Holy Spirit can't come. You get what that verse is trying to say? That's exactly. So if the Holy Spirit had always been around, then he wouldn't have said that these verses. So he had to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come. And you read that as well in John 14. He says, let not your heart be troubled. I will send you a comforter. Let us, for those that are able to kneel, let us all kneel in a silent word of prayer and pray in the name of Jesus. The Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Take your blue hymnal and turn to number 378. Take the name of Jesus with you. 378. For those that are able, let's stand.
Take it then where you go, precious man.
Now that we've looked into Scripture as to how the people were informed that the Holy Spirit would come, we looked into the Scripture as to what happened before then and how it happened itself, the holy pouring of the Holy Universal Spirit upon the church and upon the believers. We want to further continue to see what does the Holy Spirit do in the believers. We also want to look at Scripture that the Holy Spirit only indwells in believers. Only in believers, those that are born again. The others he draws, but does not indwell. Those are two totally different things. We find that when Zacchaeus, he was drawn by the Holy Spirit, he sat up in the tree. Nicodemus was drawn, but that doesn't indwell a person yet. That's totally two different things. We find that the Holy Spirit, what did it come to do? We find in Acts chapter 2 that it had fire. People were baptized by the Holy Spirit and it gave them fire. They were convinced by the Holy Spirit there was truth, an absolute truth. Today it's hard to know what is truth. They knew what was truth by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave them encouragement to stand on documents out of the Spirit of God that they're willing to die for. You know, there's a saying that says, if you're not willing to live for it, are you willing to die for it? Oh, sorry, if you're not willing to die for it, is it worth living for? That's how it is. If you're not willing to die for it, is it worth living for? It's a question. But these disciples were so convinced by the Holy Spirit, they were willing to die. It wasn't in question if they were on Christ's side. They were. They were. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It convinces people that there is a truth, and they stick to the truth. These are men and women of a backbone, I would say, that to have the Holy Spirit. We read in Acts 2, and I won't read the portion, but following what Peter says, they are not drunk with wine in Acts 2. It further alludes to what Peter says. And Peter says talks about the crucifixion of Jesus to the people. This was after the pouring of the Holy Spirit and when they spoke in different tongues. And he expounds to the crucifixion and the way they dealt with Jesus. And verse 20, it says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishop like let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Oh, no, I am in the, I'm Acts 1. Sorry, I am in the wrong chapter here. Sorry, I will go over to chapter 2. Verse 32, chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Peter says this to the people assembled. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye have now seen and heard. For David is now ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make my foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Peter speaking these words to the people assembled after the Holy Spirit was poured out. And those that heard him that replied, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? It's a good place to be at. They were interested, if we are guilty of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, what do we do? The Holy Spirit drew those people to ask the question, what can we do, what should we do? And Peter replies this way. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That happens after a person accepts Jesus as personal Savior. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not before that, after that. That was the working of the Holy Spirit in the first church, the first recording in Acts chapter 2, where Peter had a message, not of denial of what had happened, and the people asked, and he told them, repent. If you're drawn, fix it with the one that died for you. And that's the same comfort we have today. We can fix our sinfulness. The Holy Spirit draws us to the Savior Jesus Christ and asks for repentance. In John 14, we find these familiar words, John 14, verses 1 to 6. In this context that it's written to his disciples, but also for us. In any situation of our life, we should not despair, we should not be troubled. And this time, it was written when the disciples knew that Jesus would leave them. And what did they want without Jesus? They only knew that if he was around, they were safe. So here Jesus tells them, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Never throw away your faith. Get rooted in the faith. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So he gives them this comfort. If you believe in a God, believe also in me, in Jesus, that was crucified for your sake. And he says, if you believe in those things, you have an ultimate eternal heaven. You have an ultimate mansion waiting for you that you can reserve, you and I can reserve. He says, don't believe just in a God. Believe in the finished work of God, which was Jesus in me, referring to himself and what he did. Now, that was supposed to be their comforter. Even if he left, things would be fine. He basically told them the basic truth, that salvation was in Jesus. You believe in God, but you believe in God that sent Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. These are the basic truths of the Bible. Are we willing to die for them? Are we willing to live by them? Thomas did not know. In John 14, we find different attributes of the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 16, and I will, of John 14, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that ye may abide with you forever. There he talks about the Holy Spirit again being a comforter. The Holy Spirit has not been poured out as yet, but Jesus talks to his disciples about him leaving and then sending this comforter, the Holy Spirit. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. We had the verse in John 4:24. They that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, the unbeliever, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In whom? In the believer. And then he says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. And talking about his ascension. But ye shall see me, because I live, ye shall also live. Then we drop down to verse 26 and 27. 26 was my opening verse. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace, that's what the Holy Spirit does. I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world. You don't find the peace in the world. Giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, as in verse 1, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is all about comforting his disciples and about us today. And then in chapter 15, he talks about if we have this Holy Spirit. In chapter 15 of John, he says, right after that, he says, how we can be fruitful. If we live in the Spirit, we will bear fruit. But without him, we can do nothing, in verse chapter 15, verse 5. If we want to be fruitful, we have to live in the Spirit, be directed by his Spirit. And then he says in chapter 15, we are the vine. He is the vine, we are the branches. And we will be fruitful, but without him we can do nothing. These are the truths of the Scripture, how to be fruitful. In Romans, has something to talk. Romans 8 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter, one of my favorites. Romans 8, it talks about the Spirit. Romans 8, I will read some selective verses that talk about the Spirit, and I won't cover all of them. Verse 8, verse 1 says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Nobody can condemn people that walk after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Talks about the Holy Spirit. There is no condemnation who walked after the Spirit. It's the flesh that condemns us. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Talking about the Holy Spirit being guided. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You get that? That's the key verse that I talked about before. This, the Holy Spirit does not indwell in a non-believer. It indwells in a believer. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. That's a very important verse. The question would go out to all of us. Are you led by the Spirit of God? Then you are sons of God. Are you not led by the Spirit of God? Then you're not a son or daughter. It says there, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, we have a yearning and a zeal for right and wrong, for truth. We have not sinned against the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's a different subject. I wish I could get into that. Time doesn't allow. When people tell me they feel bad at what they've done, that's not the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That can be forgiven. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is when we don't accept Jesus in this life that we have to live. We reject it, and we don't accept Jesus as our personal Savior. And when we die, Matthew says, you will not be accepted in this life, neither in the one to come. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. But if we if we sin, there is forgiveness. And this Spirit of God, we are led if we are his children. For ye, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, these are some most blessed words that Jesus spoke, or Paul wrote in Romans. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Another very key verse. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we shall also be glorified. Romans 8 has much to say. It even talks about when you don't know what to pray, the Spirit will intercede. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not what I say. It's not what the Pentecostals say. It's what the Bible says. The Bible says this, that the Holy Spirit motivates us in the truth, and if we are led by the Spirit, we're children of God. If we are not led, it doesn't talk about even if we make glitches and we sin. That can always be corrected. But our desire is always to do right, to seek truth. You know, this Bible was written by the Spirit of God. Regardless of what people say, the Bible is the truth. That is the truth. That's what we should stand on. So we have found that the Holy Spirit, as we found in John chapter 14, verses 26, it comforts. John 14 had that in John 14, 26. It comforts. The Holy Spirit teaches. The Holy Spirit reminds us. It reminds us if we do wrong. It reminds us who we are. The Holy Spirit draws us. As I said, Nicodemus, Zacchaeus, you and me, it has drawn us. And if we make mistakes, we are believers, it still draws us and convicts us. Comforts, teaches, reminds us, draws us, convicts us, and many other things. People, if the Holy Spirit was removed today from this world, I don't think you and me would want to be in this world. It would be an utter chaos. I believe strongly if it wasn't for the believers in this world across the whole globe, if they were removed by the rapture today, there would be utter chaos, because then the 7-year tribulation would start, where the Holy Spirit would not be there. There might be a spirit, but not the Holy Spirit. I believe that the Holy Spirit will be removed when Christians are raptured up. And if you take the Holy Spirit out of this world, that tells us right from wrong, That makes us convicted to the Word of God, if you remove that, there's utter chaos. I believe the world is still standing the way it is because of the believers, the prayers, the conviction, the Holy Spirit enacting upon people. The church, oh, those are not perfect people, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the Trinity. That's what Jesus says, you'll do all right. Don't be comforted. Yield to the Holy Spirit, that inner small voice. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In Galatians 5, we find recorded of the works of the flesh, yeah? We read before in Galatians and Romans. In Romans 8, we read about the flesh and the spirit. They stammer nicht. They are at odds each other. That's why the Spirit often cannot do the things in your life and my life, because they are at odds. The flesh is in the way. In Galatians 5, it talks about the fleshly sins listed there. And then it says about the fruit of the Spirit. I'll read those. But the fruit of the Spirit, this is the fruit of the Spirit of Pentecost, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There is no law against this Holy Spirit being led in these characters. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Do you know why the Apostle Paul said, I must crucify myself daily? It was his flesh standing in the way that the Holy Spirit could not work. As for every believer, we need to crucify ourselves. It says here, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust, pertaining to the verses up of the flesh, and then the fruit of the Spirit. In verse 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit that was poured out at Pentecost, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Living in the Spirit. As we wrap up this service this morning, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit that lives in the believer's heart. It guides us. It directs us. It should be identified to non-believers that we are maybe different than they are. It should. It was so evident in Acts chapter 2 that they thought they were drunk, so indifferent than the normal people. I don't know what happened, but it says Acts chapter 2 that the people thought they were drunk, so indifferent, when Peter said, no, that's not the case. Nothing to do with drinking. It's but the third hour. But the Holy Spirit does something different to those that believe. I think we would agree. It, in fact, makes this a world of pilgrims and strangers for believers, as in Hebrews 11. In my travel, or in our travels to BC, I thought to myself, boy, this world is something I feel I'm with. I just feel like a pilgrim and stranger. I can't understand. And when you look at the whole global situation, I don't understand. But I know God is true. But we are pilgrims and strangers. And that's how children of God need to act, not upon the flesh, but upon the Spirit that directs. You can today travel to anywhere in this world just about without any cash. I found that out. You can use it still, but we actually live in a cashless society. But they still take cash. But you just take that away and then we have it. I see it. It doesn't make me fearful. It comforts me because I know the Bible talks about it. It comforts me. If I didn't have the Bible, I don't know. Then I might be tormented, afraid. But now we have this comfort. We should act different. We should not be, John 2 says, not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. The flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life is not of the Father, is of this world. It's not of the Holy Spirit, it's of this world. It's of the devil. That's what John 2 says. We are not of this world. We should love. We should have the fruit of the Spirit according to Galatians 5. We should strive for it. Believers should be honest and upright, make a difference in this world, should be directed as Christians. I sometimes come to the conclusion or the thinking, do we as believers think that our life is a divine life directed by God or not? When you stand up in the morning and you have your devotions, have your prayers, do you feel that that day will bring you across of coincidence, of people meeting by coincidence, or by divine? What's your thoughts? If the Holy Spirit directs us to different people, to different places, is that by coincidence or is that divine? I can tell you for myself, I have often prayed in the morning, not every day, that I might meet some people that I could maybe encourage or they could encourage me. And at the end of the day, it's exactly what I found. And then life is really meaningful. If you just go through the process of the day and you don't see anything that happens, where's the Holy Spirit? I have had days when I could reach out or somebody else reached out to me. And I have no question in my mind that was a leading of the Holy Spirit, because I prayed for it. I believe in prayers. I would encourage us all, let us be led by the Holy Spirit. And that if you bump into people, or if you need to make something right to people, that you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You can't go wrong. The hell yes, what he led and me led. No question. The Holy Spirit is true to you and me. It never fails. It's one of the Godhead. It never fails. And it is not by coincidence. I know there are some people, they spiritualize everything. They spiritualize when, I hope you know what I mean. They have a spiritual meaning behind. That's not what I'm saying. I don't think God is for a minute interested how I take my route to Winnipeg, if I go 75 or number 3. Dots, Damon, don't. But I think he is interested in my walk with him and how he wants to direct you and me through life and to meet other people and to minister other people. We are his witnesses. And so we should be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It's not by coincidence. And you know what the Bible says? It says there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, quench not the Spirit. I think we are often guilty of the sin of quenching the Holy Spirit. The voice comes to you and me and we say, no, we don't want to. That's quenching. It talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. And then it talks about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, which is rejection. I don't want Jesus. I don't want salvation. He's not accepted in this life, neither in eternity. He can't be. He rejected it. That's a blasphemy. But I think we're often quenching the Holy Spirit. We're not sensitive to what God wants to say us. It might be reading God's word. And we say, well, it doesn't apply. That's, you know, we can be desensitized. And we can become calloused. We can become callous, like if your fingers become hard by playing a guitar or something. And so let us be sensitive to the Holy Spirit that God has given us. Let us close in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. And Father, we have often failed you in being sensitive to your Holy Spirit. I think we could all admit to that. That we do not seek your direction and often live after the flesh, which we have learned today and have known in the past, is actually the enemy of the Holy Spirit. Pride. You resist. Holy Spirit cannot live in pride. Humbleness is accepted. You will guide those people that are humble and give them more spirit, more direction as to what you want from them. Father, help us this morning and in the time to come this week that we might be bold by the Holy Spirit to share Jesus with others, to witness, to go into the neighboring, to neighboring people and to spread the good the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that we might be have fire like the people did in the New Testament, Peter and the other apostles that were willing to die. Father, might we as a church be on fire for you. We ask that you might be with the baptism candidates, that some that have been baptized and those that will be baptized, that they will be on fire and will honor and glorify through their lives Jesus Christ and will draw others to you. We ask your guidance and direction upon this day. We ask for your blessing upon each one that hears this message, and might you alone be the honor and glory For we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. And now let us all kneel for those that can in the name of Jesus. The Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
From the Blue Book, page 177, God be with you. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsels guide uphold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again.
What a beautiful closing song, God be with you till we meet again. You know, there's many people, they have left this earth, and they want to meet us someday again. There is a heaven prepared for all his people. Let us walk in that spirit. I will give you to this morning a double blessing out of Numbers chapter 6. You started with a blessing, I will give you another blessing, which God's word gives. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, now and into all eternity. You may now go in the peace of the Lord. Have a blessed week. Thank you for coming.